Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Maybe they'll cover that during Love in the Time of COVID-19 tonight on Channel 9 at 9. Could be interesting. That's Major Lance, of course, his version of I'm the One. Curtis Mayfield wrote it. Carl Davis produced it. It was okay, 1963. And it actually came out as an album cut on the The Best of Major Lance album. The Impressions did it too. I go back and forth on which version I like better, but certainly Major Lance's is worthy of deep consideration. So I'm Raleigh James, and I'm in for G on WGN Radio, and we are going to talk to Melanie Santostefano from the Bridge Youth and Family Services. Welcome to WGN Radio, Melanie.
Thank you, Raleigh, for having me here tonight. Appreciate it.
I'm glad that this came up because, of course, you've got a nonprofit, and I guess before we go any further, we should talk about bridgeyouth.org, which is where folks can find out what you're about. But in a few words, tell me about the Bridge.
Well, I am fortunate to be a board member for 5 years with this amazing nonprofit. It was founded in 1965. We help children up to the age of 18, providing crisis intervention, with children who are locked out of their homes and have no place to go in the middle of the night, counselors on call 24/7, 365. We have counselors that handle counseling for individual and family group therapy, trying to really get families back together that are having challenges. And then we also have a mentoring program, which is awesome because there are many children who really don't have that positive role model in their life. And we have volunteers from our community that take the time out and spend time with these young people who need someone to look up to and guide them on a weekly basis. So it's a commitment, but it's really wonderful. And I've seen testimonials of this pairing up between an adult and a child, and it just creates amazing outcomes for these young people who just need somebody. So that's kind of the three areas of service that the Bridge provides for these kids who need it.
And they're absolutely critical. Kids especially need help, and they very often don't know how to ask for it. So when there's an organization like this, it's priceless. But even more so, as far as I'm concerned, that you are, in fact, in the suburbs. Now, most people, when they think about kids at risk or youth in trouble emotionally or even physically, we think about inner cities and things like that. So a lot of times, kids are swept under the rug when they're in suburban America, but I'm sure that the Bridge's plate is very full with people in need.
It is, you know, and you're right. I think a lot of times people think it's very localized to the more urban areas, but the same types of issues and even other ones in the suburbs, you know, substance abuse, there's a lot of that going on all over the place. Family issues, you know, COVID-19, you mentioned as we were coming in that, you know, in the time of COVID, there's a whole other host of challenges, economic challenges, the parents losing their jobs and families being pushed into very uncertain, frightening territory, which causes stress and challenges within the home. The problems are everywhere, and there are many, many kids who need these services. One of the things I should mention is that whether or not there are economic challenges, one of the big things about the Bridge is no one is ever turned away for the inability to pay. We have sliding scale services available, but even if there's a family, especially, you know, with what's going on right now with people losing their jobs, That's why our fundraising is so important, to make sure that we have the funding in order to provide these services. We have counselors that, of course, need to be paid in order to be there. So that's one of the very special things that you don't see all the time with organizations like this, which I'm really proud that the Bridge does that.
I would assume with COVID-19, we know the obvious implications, but for a child especially, if you're in a family that's hard hit by this, it's hard for parents to keep it together, let alone be able to present a front to their children that's comforting. And so if there is not already somewhat of a rift, I would think that at a time like this, there are more and more kids who feel they are without support as their family appears to be disintegrating in front of their eyes.
Absolutely. And that's why all this kind of array, this range of services that we have in place, whether it's a crisis situation, and there are situations where, as you mentioned, tempers get high and the stress is just overwhelming. And there are high school kids who are unfortunately kicked out of their homes, right? Then you have just the issue of children dealing with looking at their parents potentially falling apart because of outside forces, economic forces and other, and then trying to make sure that this therapy with families together, trying to bring the families back together. And another thing too, when you're talking about this, them being challenged and their parents being challenged in their own situation, having people from the outside that are, potentially in a better place, kind of fill in that role until parents can get back to where they need to be after they've handled all these other outside forces that have resulted due to this horrible pandemic we're all dealing with.
Yeah, and it is tough because it's tough for a parent to be able to put themselves in the child's shoes again when, in fact, they might just offhandedly say something that's devastating to the child in the middle of it, and they're completely unaware. So my first question on that is, can kids come to the Bridge on their own?
Well, the way that we receive referrals are through either school districts, through the school counselors, or the area police departments. We work in six area Cook County townships, so really on the north end of Chicago. The children wouldn't necessarily, come to the door and say, I need some help, but as long as they have interacted with someone in school, or unfortunately, if it has to be, law enforcement, they would come to us through that
right.
those two avenues.
So then if there's anybody who is listening who is right in that position right now, best thing to do is go to your guidance counselor and ask for the help and take it from there, I would assume.
Yeah. And the Bridge is very connected with a lot of the social service agencies. There's a lot of partnerships. So my suggestion, especially since at least here in the suburbs, school ended today for a lot of school districts or will be ending, is townships. So I mentioned six townships. There's Barrington, Hanover, Elk Grove, Maine, Schaumburg, and Palatine Township. Those two offer social services, and they would help to connect with either the Bridge or other services that children need. So that would be a good place to go now that school is letting out. So that's one of the challenges, right, with school ending. But I would suggest that would be the place that individuals would go if they need some help, and they will get referrals.
That's a good idea, and they can do that online with the townships, or possibly also with the schools, too, because in some cases you can reach the guidance counselors even though the schools are closing, but the townships are there all the time. Now, you mentioned, of course, it's a sliding scale, which means that you're not paying people on a sliding scale. You're paying them salaries to do what it is they do, and the biggest fundraiser for you guys comes up every year right about now, and I understand it's raised about $80,000. The only problem is that it now has to be online. What a challenge that is.
Yeah, I think, not just the Bridge, but I think every business, organization, nonprofit is having to do what we call the pivot, right? You need to make yourself relevant and stay connected into this new world, whether it's virtual online meetings or whatnot. So we are having a virtual gala. It's virtual is the new black tie. That's the genius title that came from our development director, Janet Gow. I just love that because it does create kind of a fun feeling. It's this coming Saturday, starting at 7:00. We have a lot of interesting, fun things planned. We have some videos, live testimonials, a grand prize raffle where a lucky winner will walk away with $3,000. Second place winner gets $1,500, third place gets $500. And we invite people to join us. You can go to bridgeyouth.org to RSVP. We're also, it's a Zoom meeting, which you would get a link when you register. We're also going to be pushing this out through Facebook Live. So we're going to be doing some watch parties and trying to just get a whole bunch of people there. As you mentioned, a third of our budget comes from fundraising, and we do have to make sure that our counselors, you know, stay employed so they can help people that need them. So this is why this is so important. In addition to having competent counselors on staff to help kids that need them, also having the ability to ensure that services are provided, whether or not the client who needs them can pay or not. So it's been challenging, and everyone is doing this adjusting, not just the bridge. And I think it's going to be a really great event. One thing I didn't mention is that we also have silent auction items where you can go onto the website. The bidding starts tomorrow. A lot of really fun different items that people can choose from to help raise money for the bridge.
That was one of the things I wanted to bring up. It's a live event, but there is a $3,000 browse silent auction. And the other thing is, even though this is a fundraiser, it's absolutely free to attend the virtual gala. So there's not an admission charge to get in on this. And there should be some good entertainment and information, but also the raffle and and the silent auction and like that. So is this going to be interactive to a degree that, for instance, how will individuals at home be able to bid? Well,
yeah, so they can bid actually online at bridgeyouth.org. So that would be something that could actually, and you could also download an app to it from your phone if you feel good doing that. But it is going to be interactive. So people can, you know, chat in questions, and people who decide to register and get onto the Zoom call will be on the call. You know, I'm sure a lot of people listening have been on Zoom calls, and you can see everyone in their little box. I plan to be there all dressed up with probably a cocktail in hand with a few friends that are joining me, just trying to make some fun out of it, especially in the last few days before the world starts to open up a little bit. So you can, you know, like our development director pointed out, you could wear your pajamas, or you could have your dog with you, or you could do whatever you want in the comfort of your own home.
Well,
we would just love you to come out and support us.
Yeah, within reason, I suggest people may be very mindful of what's behind them. A number of things have shown up on these Zoom chats that they aren't necessarily expecting. But since virtual is the new black tie, if it has to be pajamas, at least make them black. But
exactly.
And again, remember that no matter what they tell you and what you think, these pictures never go away. So not ever, ever, ever. So I strongly suggest something other than pajamas might be the way to go. And it is a lot of fun. And like I say, there's absolutely no admission charge to this. So there's no reason that anybody shouldn't say, hey, I'm gonna check this out. And it's bridgeyouth.org. And as I say, I think it's a tremendous organization, because again, so many, especially with children, fall through the cracks, and there's no one there to help pick up the pieces. Now, obviously, with the pandemic, this has caused a real heightening of problems. But is there anything that's starting to crop up that maybe you're saying, "Wow, that's one that we really didn't expect"?
Well, I think there was an expectation that there would be a lot of additional stress in homes. You know, economic challenges of the loss of a job really just, you know, even in the best of circumstances, creates, you know, a very challenging scenario. There's a lot of, as you mentioned earlier, there's just kids who are just trying to figure out what's going on. They have all been moved to e-learning, which is a huge adjustment. And there's kids who, you know, if they're depressed or anxious, plus you add in this whole new situation. So I, you know, the counselors and our executive director kind of saw what was coming. And so I asked about this. Have we seen an uptick in new clients? There hasn't been an uptick, but the needs have changed a little bit, kind of adjust to the new world. So, you know, they're there, they're so qualified and educated in order to handle these issues, and it's wonderful, all the services that can wrap around these young kids in order to just kind of right the ship as best we can and put those supports in place for them.
All right. So bridgeyouth.org. Melanie Santo, and I'll get this wrong probably, Stefano. Did I pronounce that right, Santo Stefano?
You did. I thought you were part Italian the way you said that earlier.
All right. Well, I think it was just luck, but certainly Palatine and the other suburbs are lucky to have you, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. Have a great evening.